cut into the time for Chris Hossack, who is here in the studio. He is the leader of Brentwood Council, and he pops into Phoenix FM every couple of months. You were last here in November.
I was indeed.
Was that before the Brentwood lighting up?
It was, because I think we talked about it and promoted it. Through the station. So,
how did everything go?
It went really well. I think it was the busiest one we've ever had in terms of crowds. So, and that's always the measure of success, how many people it attracted. I went down there, it was absolutely heaving.
Yeah.
It was like a fun fair in the high street, which it literally was. Mm. And so we put a lot of effort into making that happen. And then the following week we did Shenfield as well. And I think, again, we'd have to say that was equally successful.
Mm.
And, you know, it's in no small part, and we did this just yesterday, we acknowledge the volunteers who help out. A lot of the churches get involved, people like Chris Boyland, who's always there, and other regular faces that you see. Mm. And also to mention, again, we couldn't do this without businesses sponsoring what we do, particularly in Shenfield. The high street, they all pull together, and some of the prominent traders that we know about in Shenfield and some of the prominent businesses, if they didn't put into it, it wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
But it gets a buzz before Christmas. Try to put some footfall into these high streets, help the traders. And so I think on balance, they were pretty successful, both of them. And it's something we're committed to doing, and I'll carry on doing.
So have you started with the next one? It must start already, is it?
Honestly, planning starts already. Yeah. I talked to a couple of the Shenfield traders, Nish and Kate, and I said, look, we need to start talking about sponsorship so early on, because we need to get this lined up, rather than getting close to it, think, oh, we're a couple of grand down or whatever. So as soon as one, it's like the Forth Road Bridge, and they accept that, and they work so hard to make that happen. So yeah, we're committed to doing it, not just as a council, but the traders are committed to doing it. They see it as a good event. And there's some fantastic stuff there, you know. I think it was Barclays had made their bank into a Santa's Grotto in Shenfield High Street, and Brian Hughes from the solicitors there, he was Santa for hours.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Because the real Santa was a little bit busy.
Oh, gosh,
that's why.
Or if children are listening. Yeah. No, they're all in school now.
Yeah, they should be.
But, you know, the commitment from businesses and business people like that is fantastic.
Yeah.
And we as a council want to respect that and support that as much as we can as well. So it's a real joint effort.
Any updates on William Hunter Way? Has anything moved forward on that, or is it still not?
So the Brentwood Development Partnership, as we know, is now formed.
Yeah.
So there's background work going on that now as we speak. Nothing to it's preparation work until you get something where you've got a story, and it will be released in stages. So that's going on. But we're at the other sites that we're actively looking at as for development: Westbury Road, Maple Close. We're going to do something at Seven Arches Road, the old registry office next door to the town hall. Schemes are coming together.
Is that for business, or is that for business and residential?
Residential.
Yeah.
Residential. All right. You know, we've got to build houses in Brentwood.
So expensive. So, I've been looking on Rightmove for Brentwood. Yeah. It's so expensive.
And we need these affordable ones, and we need to think about our key workers, and we need to think about, you know, our teachers and our hospital staff and our community radio presenters.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe not me so much, but yeah, it's a lovely area, isn't it?
Your experience as that sort of person, affordability and finding the right size.
Yeah.
You know, the right size accommodation type, one-bedroom apartments, stuff like that. We just haven't got enough.
No.
So, yes, absolutely key we start bringing those proposals forward.
Because it's a nice place to live.
It's very attractive.
You know,
people want to be here. It's attracting people from Havering, Romford, Barton and Dagenham, Basildon. People have this thing about Brentwood. Mm. Oh, it's a great place to be.
Yeah.
And yeah, it is. And we've got to keep that reputation going.
Yeah.
And if people want to come and invest here, if people want to come and live here, then the job of the council is to try and enable that.
What's happening with the business? We did talk last year about the high street and how a lot of people, you know, they moan about this shop shutting down, and but then they're shopping online. What is it like on the high street at the moment? A lot of the shops occupied, or they seem to be doing okay?
I think the occupancy is the same as probably what it was when we last looked at it. I think there was, I can't remember the percentage, around 10% empty. And we talked about the conditions as to why that happens.
Yeah.
We talked about, it's not a unique problem to Brentwood, we all know that.
Yeah.
Not just across Essex, across the country, high streets are struggling because of the change in retailing habits, the continued onslaught of online retailing, the convenience of doing that.
Yeah.
You know, all of these shifts come at a cost.
Mm.
But, you know, what we're actively doing internally now, particularly with the new chief executive, Jonathan, he's coming up, and I'm seeing the business partnership in the chamber tonight. They're in the town hall talking to us. This stuff is always on the agenda, and we're going to come up with hopefully a funding scheme to maybe help investment into the high street. It might be a co-funding, but what we're looking to do is put something in the pot.
Yeah.
And if the business partnership, the chamber, traders, we can put a collective fund to try and come up with ideas to rejuvenate the high street, make it an attractive place to go.
Yeah.
Then we'll do that.
We just touch on norovirus, because we were just talking about what there's been. Well, we don't know the full story, but there was people have been a little bit ill over since New Year's Eve.
Yeah. So there's a story on we won't name the venue, but there was a story that was out there, isn't it? It's in the Domain at the Sugar Hut. If it's still called that, is it? I think it is.
I think it is.
Change owner. Where a lot of people apparently got very ill after, I think, a New Year's Eve party. Public Health England looking into that.
Yeah.
What's a little bit of a confusion for us is, my understanding is there was no kitchen, there was no food being served.
Yeah.
Normally that would come down to our environmental health officers.
Mm-hmm.
So as there wasn't, there's no clear line of inquiry. Well, hang on, what caused it? We don't know.
Yeah.
So that's being investigated by powers above us, but we're sort of assisting Public Health England to look at that.
Right.
But other than that, we've not really made a lot of comment because no kitchen.
Yeah.
So where do we fit into it?
Yeah. And it is one of those very contagious viruses, isn't it? So
I mean, somebody could have been there and gone in with a bug, and absolutely, as you say,
everyone else has come out with not everyone,
a good number of people. Who knows? Yeah. Maybe some. We get into detail when you these viruses spread and quite virulently.
Yeah.
If and when you're in a confined space, it's probably hot. It was people were tripping over each other, coughs and sneezes and all that sort of stuff. Who knows how it's happened?
I thought you were going to say coughs and sneezes spread diseases. I thought you were going to say
you can say that. I'll leave your punchlines to you.
Yeah, sorry, I'll just join in.
But we don't know.
Yeah.
But it's on the radar. But it's with Public Health England, who are far more expert on these matters than we are. Because in Brentwood, if we investigate, we find a link normally associated with kitchens when something like that happens.
Yeah.
Then we're all over it, and we do what we need to do, and we've got a good track record of doing that. A very good track record of doing that, actually.
Mm.
But in this one, it's not so straightforward, so we're just kind of leaving it to PHE to do their thing.
Now, we've got the Civic Awards coming up.
Yes.
If you want to find out more, because it's a good way to get people recognised in the Brentwood area, nominations have got to be received by the 14th of February, which is Valentine's Day. I'm sure you'll all be busy on that day as well. And then you've got the awards being presented on the 3rd of April at the Civic Dinner. So you've got Service to the Community, Lifetime Achievement, Young Volunteer of the Year, and they can go to individuals or groups who've made a real difference in the local community. Anyone in Brentwood can be nominated.
Yeah, and this is a great thing to do, and we do similar things, like we recently had the Sports Awards, is where people are doing well, where they're giving up their time, making a sacrifice for the borough. It's great to acknowledge those people and give them an award. So as you say, go on brentwood.gov.uk, look up the nomination form. If you know somebody who's making a real difference in the community, or a group, the categories that you mentioned there, then put them forward. And they'll go through an assessment panel. But the right person will come to the top, and it's just great to acknowledge them as part of the civic sort of end of year of people who are making a difference in the community purely off their own backs.
Yeah, and it has to be in Brentwood. You have to be Brentwood, either work in Brentwood or live in
making
Brentwood.
A difference. I think, I'm pretty sure it's that. But the main difference is if you're investing your time into making a difference in Brentwood, why wouldn't Brentwood acknowledge you for doing that?
Yeah.
So that's what it's about, yeah.
Yeah, so if you know somebody, because most people wouldn't nominate themselves, although I might try it, and I'm kidding. If you know somebody, put them forward. Now, I'm going to be speaking, as you know, in a little while, about 11:15, to Jim Lynch from Friends of King George's Park. Now, they've formed to fight the council's proposal to build a leisure centre and a collection of outdoor attractions in the middle of the park. So he's coming in to talk about that.
Yeah.
Tell us what the council position is on King George's Park and what the plans are. Because you said there's quite a lot of misinformation out there.
Yeah, so just at the highest level, our plan's very clear. We produced our leisure strategy, and we've done a lot of work on that going forward. But we produced that about 2 years, 18 months ago. As a public document, it's been out there for a long time. We consulted widely to produce the leisure strategy. The leisure strategy includes everything from sports, football pitches, play pitches, right down to play provision and all sorts of other things that would be involved in what you call sport and leisure. So the place where we're sitting now, Brentwood Centre, is a huge part of that in terms of the forward plan. So King George's is a beautiful park. It's a historic park for Brentwood. It's got a great golf course on it, but unfortunately it's got facilities on it that are literally falling apart to the extent where we've shut them down.
So what was on, because I don't know, what was actually on there? Was it a loose or a little calf or something?
We have a pavilion there that frankly is past its sell-by date. Yeah. I've walked into it. The worst changing rooms you could ever wish to see.
Mm.
I think the building was probably built in the 50s or the early 60s at best. Yeah. So it's pushing 50, 60 years old now,
yeah,
as a pavilion. So you can imagine over time these things just become, just decay.
Yeah.
And you have to, and then you look, you have three options. You leave it and do nothing with it, in which case it's going to bite you on the bum.
Yeah.
You invest in the structure as it is, which is often more costly than doing something as a new build, or you think, actually, let's build this part for the future.
Mm.
Well, and we might talk about it. I mean, if you look about our local development plan, where the population is growing in Brentwood, you know, we've got to put a plan going forward for 7,800 homes. Let's say the population is going to go up by 20,000.
Yeah.
All likely. We know we're in a population growth. We know we're in the southeast. There's no, you know, we talked about housing a moment ago. The crisis, the town's growing.
Yeah.
Fact. I can't stop that. A lot of people might not like that. I might not like that.
Yeah.
But the responsibility of local authorities to plan for that stuff.
Yeah.
That includes leisure provision. So to do nothing is not an option. In fact, in this heading to this petition, these guys are basically saying, let's keep our park as it's meant to be, just a park. They just want to leave it as is. You know, unfortunately, wouldn't that be nice if we didn't have to accommodate change? But we do.
Mm.
And any local authority that wasn't forward thinking and looking at doing that would really be stacking up problems for somebody else in the future.
Yeah.
So we need to change the pavilion. There are tenants in the pavilion. There's a cafe in there. You're asking about what goes on. The golf club have got their base in there. Those things will remain.
Mm.
There's changing facilities in there.
Yeah.
They are talking about, and they've put in their position, there's going to be a loss of changing facilities. Well, if they read our leisure plan or our leisure strategy, what they clearly see, and I think we've talked about it here, Michelle, on the radio, it's common knowledge. We're looking at the Brentwood Centre where we're sitting now. This is, I say, in our strategy to develop that as a football hub,
right?
And King George's to remain as a rugby hub because you've got Brentwood Rugby Football Club at base there.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're not removing any pitches. In point of fact,
yep.
The strategy is twofold: the number of changing rooms, because we're looking to develop the football here, we won't need as many at King George's.
Yeah.
By the way, Brentwood Rugby Club are already putting their own plans together for increased changing rooms anyway.
Mm.
And they're one of the main users of the changing facilities.
Yeah.
So we're not reducing them. We might reduce them on site, but across the borough we've got to have a strategy to put hotspots of where particular focus points of sports are.
Yeah.
Hub at the Brentwood Centre for football, hub at King George for rugby. You've had some good people invested in the park, doing really popular stuff like you've got the Bowls Club there.
Yep.
They do what they do, that will remain.
Yep.
You've got Crazy Golf went in there about 2 or 3 years ago. That's doing pretty well, best of my understanding.
Yeah.
We've got free-to-use play equipment there.
Right.
Now, that play equipment, if you go and have a look at it, a lot of it is 40, 50 years old.
Yeah.
We've got swings with chains missing because they're beyond the sell-by date, and we can't reinvest. We've got a strategy to reinvest in it. We are going to put 0.9 of £1 million into, in capital letters, if I can talk in capital letters, because these guys, again, have got this wrong.
Yeah.
And said we're removing free-to-use play area. Incorrect. And what's happened is, jumping around here, but we're going to put 0.9 of £1 million, a thick end of £1 million, into free-to-use play.
Right.
Okay? But what we're also going to do there, we had, up until a couple of years ago, we had these little paddling pools. And I think I've probably even said it again, it's just coming back to me, I'm sure I've talked about it here, where they were falling apart and we had to close them down. And last summer was the first time in a long time there was no sort of places for kids to splash about and cool off and all
yeah.
that. And, you know, we're really conscious of that. And when we closed them, we had a load of, oh, that's a real shame. But,
yeah
we've got to do it. You can't just close them and do nothing. So one of the things we're looking to do is put what we call a splash pad in as well. So there's a place for the kids to go in the really hot weather and cool off and do something different.
Yeah.
All right, so that's all going in. We're talking about roughly £7.2 million investment. Okay,
right.
This is a major project for a park that needs some major reinvestment.
Will that be coming in the investment coming from private companies, like if they want to build something, or is it all going to be? It's all coming out of council.
It comes out of borrowing,
right.
Like any project that anyone will do. If you're a developer in building a block of flats or the Shard or whatever. The money's borrowed. You have to fund it.
Okay.
And this is the reality of this, what I think, again, is missed. The do-nothing option is not an option because at some point you're going to have to pay for something that falls apart.
Yeah.
Okay? So in order to take Brentwood forward, in order to invest in it for the future, in order to provide exciting play stuff for the kids, and I'll talk, and the pavilion is a big thing.
Mm.
You know, unfortunately, seems to be an objection that we're actually having the audacity to think about doing indoor play. Well, has anybody had kids in a British summertime where it's peeing it down,
mm,
and your kids are running right around the house? You think, I'd just love to get them out and take them to do something.
Yeah.
You know, it's not always ideal. But in, you know, we've got 365 days near, we have a winter time.
Yeah.
What I've always said is I want King George's Park to be available all year round.
And making, obviously, money through the coffee shop. You know,
it's actually got to make money.
Yeah, it's got
to make money. That's the point. You don't spend £7.2 million without a return on investment.
Yeah.
So what we have to do is come up with a business plan and a model that says, if we put this money in, how do we make sure we don't go broke by doing it?
Mm.
And that's what we've put together. So, as you say, you'll have retail. You'll have people occupying and renting space. We're going to have public space there where people can rent a function room, you know, have a party or whatever. The splash pad, even before we the splash play, if you like, even before we closed it, was on a pay to use basis. So we need to continue that. You don't put, you know, whatever the figure is just for the splash play of a fraction of a million or over a million. You can't just put that in and say, yeah, it's free, help yourself. Nobody can do that. Anyone with a business brain knows if you spend money and make an investment, you have to get a return out of it.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we're shutting the park down and making it pay for everything, as the inference is in this petition. I've just said 0.9 of a million to fully reinvest in a free-to-use play area.
Yeah.
I repeat, 0.9 of a million to invest in a free-to-use play area.
Yeah.
You know, so we're investing in it. And we've got to be mindful that the park's for everybody and it's got to cater for all pockets.
Mm.
Again, the language here is, you know, on this petition header, and 1,500 people have signed it now, but this is why I want to come on, because it's not, you know, the spin that's been put in this, it doesn't really, I don't feel, lays out the facts. You know, we want to take a council without being pestered. All right, the kids don't want to, what they're saying is, the kids don't want to pester their parents. Well, should we do away with an ice cream shop, shall we?
Mm.
I mean, which parent ever didn't walk the kiddie down the high street or take them to a park where they weren't, inverted commas, pestered for something? We're not trying to go all retail and high-level marketing and squeeze every penny out of you. Come along, bring a picnic, use the 0.9 of a million play area free to use, kick the football around the field for free. None of that's changing.
Yeah.
But we're also putting in stuff that allows it to be used 365 days a year. The other thing we're putting in, which is really important, and we've got some great support from people like Changing Places, Exit County Council, I want the park to be inclusive. You take a kiddie there now with disabilities.
Yeah.
There's nowhere for them to change.
Yeah.
It's all, I mean, I've spoken to, we've consulted and talked with people. I've had one lady raised a petition a couple of years ago, and we talked with her and said, she explained the real challenge she had. I think she had two autistic kids. You know, when you start to have difficulties with a child, you're in a park with all the other kids, where do you take them?
Yeah.
And you having to withdraw those kids? You know, it's real. So we're putting facilities in that take away those difficulties for those people. I've talked to BOSP about it. They're really keen. Mm. At the moment, none of that exists at that park.
Yeah.
So we've got to modernise it. We've got to make it fit for the 21st century. That's what we're going to do. And in the same time in doing it, we're absolutely protecting the openness, the free-to-use facility, kick your ball around, take a picnic, all of that other stuff that's there now.
Mm.
But, you know, we're not in a standstill society anymore. Brentwood's changing. And my role, working with my colleagues and all the staff in the council, you know, working really hard on this, and we've worked hard on it for a long time, been really open about it.
Mm.
You know, I remember being at the Strawberry Fair, and we had a big thing saying, what matters to you most at King George's? And that people could drop like a coin thing in the thing to say, and splash pad and water play came out really high.
Mm.
Well, we've already consulted. We know what people want.
Yeah.
You know, some of the people who've signed this petition, I think, to be honest, they've done it based under the spin that's been put on the header that kind of paints a bit of a bleaker picture about it than it really is.
Yeah.
And what I'd say to the people who've written this petition is, all right, I know Jim's coming in a minute, and I know Jim, frankly, actually, we've talked to him about our leisure strategy in detail before. He's in that business, all right? So there you go. It's not this is news to him. But on the other thing about it, it's curious how this kicks off in the last week up to planning.
Mm.
Where have you been for the last 3 years we've been talking about it?
Yeah.
You know, we've been very open about this. So, yeah, what can I say? We've got to move forward. You know, I'm quite blunt, you know, Michelle. In this council, at this point in time, we've got to make some omelettes.
Yeah.
And if you have to break an egg to do it, then so be it. But I've got to look at the bigger picture, the greater good for Brentwood. I've got to think of the future. You know, King George's is the hub park for the whole town of Brentwood. And actually, people are attracted to it from Thurrock and all over the place, even as it is.
Yeah.
it's a destination play area, and we're going to a destination park with destination facilities. That's what we want to create. Okay, I want people coming from Navestock, Ingatestone, Worley, wherever, Blackmore, because that's where you go in Brentwood to take your kids out for a real good time.
Yeah.
And we want to do it all year round. We talked about the weather.
Yeah.
So I don't know why, you know, I was just talking to Kim before I said, you know, our mission is for King George's Park. I said, well, it's not really. Our overarching statement is health and well-being, keeping kids active, having really families that can have a place and go out and have an enjoyable time. And in order to enable that to happen, we need to invest in King George's Park. So that's what we're in the business of doing. And if the weather's terrible and the kids are sitting indoors watching DVDs, looking at mum's iPhone or whatever they do, wouldn't it be nice to just take them out and get them to burn some energy off? We've got some fantastic ideas for indoor activity facilities.
Yeah.
Fantastic. It's the future.
Is the building going to be, I'm not sure the size of the building now, but is it sort of double the size, or is that an issue with people, or you
don't? Yeah, it is. You know, they're referring to a two-story building.
Yeah.
But when you put indoor playing, you can't do it in a room of this height with a 7-foot ceiling.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got something going in called, we're proposing called Tag Active, which is a fantastic climbing facility. You know, like you see, there's nothing like that in Brentwood.
Yeah.
And a lot of parents we know like taking their places, kids to places like that. To do that, I think there's one at South End or down at Rayleigh. And this will knock spots off it anyway. So this is the problem that I look at. So many people are leaving Brentwood to go and do stuff they can't do in Brentwood. You know, they go to Chelmsford to go to the cinema. They go to Basnet to go to the cinema. They go to Rayleigh to take the kids out to burn the energy off doing something else. You know, we can't hollow Brentwood out.
Yeah.
At some point in time, somebody's got to say, what do we want to put in place in Brentwood? Not everything, but we need to make Brentwood a destination for people to come to,
because
and
then
spend
they spend money.
Money
it's the same as Lakeside. They've got the cinema at Lakeside, they've got all the shops. I'm saying, because I live around that area, but now they've got, you know, the play area and everything, and people go there, and
you
then they stay there, then they spend money in the restaurants, and they go into the pubs, and they will stay there all day. They don't want to go from one place to another, so you can try and capture them.
You've got them. And I've said this over and over, that, you know, economic development is a spider's web. And you're touching exactly on it. If you've come to Brentwood to take your kids out and do something, well, why don't we just pop up to the high street and do something? Maybe we'll have a bit of lunch.
Yep.
Maybe I'll buy something. So by getting people to come to the town and stopping them leaving the town to go and do stuff and spend their money elsewhere, let's look at what we can do. And this is a part of that. It's a big part of that. It's particularly geared towards sport and leisure, the health and wellbeing agenda. You know, the whole psychology agenda, the whole mental health agenda. And people are saying on here, you know, let's keep it green. Well, okay, Brentwood's 89% green belt. Are you telling me there's nowhere to walk your dog, get out, and there's a quote about listening to birds? Right? There's 89% green belt. Now, I'm not even reducing the play fields or anything like that.
Yeah.
We're putting new, first-class, 21st century facilities in. It's a really exciting project. And if we can realise it through the planning system, at the end of this month, I think we're looking at doing it, subject to planning committee decision, of course.
Yeah.
But that's where this doesn't help. You know, I only deal in facts. This is what we're proposing. I've tried to articulate as best I can the reason for proposing it. And if this, what do they call, Friends of King George's Park are uncertain, I always repeat it here, my office door's wide open. My telephone number is 07538 101 212. I repeat, 07538 101 212. My name's Chris Hossack, I'm the leader of the council. Phone me up and we'll talk about it. If you're not sure of the facts, don't go and put petitions out that kind of don't get it quite right, because it's really unfair to people who are signing this position thinking, oh, that sounds terrible. I'm against that. And let's get the facts out there, guys. Let's do the job properly.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited about it. And I'm actually confident, because I know everybody else around the borough that we've consulted with over 3 years thinks it's a great thing to do. So, I'll rest my case.
There we go. And I'll be speaking to Jim from Friends of King George's Park at about 11:15. Travel incursion, Pred pushing green initiatives and travel incursion training. Did we get onto that one?
So there's a few things there, isn't there? Green initiatives, we're keeping focused on that, okay?
Yeah.
So I'm really pleased that... Well, I've thought about this a lot as we're going forward, and I'm trying to put everything in terms of green initiatives, not just the environmental stuff. in terms of fly tipping, street scene, all that carries on, business as usual. We've got to keep fighting that. We've got to keep the place tidy. We've got to keep trying to find ways to prosecute people that fly tip, gather evidence. That's part of that on business as usual environmental agenda.
Yeah.
But then the other thing that's coming up, and I've tried to categorise it in two ways, the whole climate agenda, and everybody needs to play their part. And I look at it as carbon reduction, so reducing the emissions of carbon, but carbon absorption, which is the carbon that's out there, getting that sucked up effectively into trees.
Right.
So what we're looking to do in the council, we're still actively progressing our electric vehicle charging points, starting at the town hall. But again, massive pressure now. Look at the future of the town. We've got to start putting charging infrastructure in around the town.
Yep.
So we're talking to those people now. We're going to start at the town hall to encourage people and to lead from the front to do it. What I'm actively looking at doing now, and there's a paper coming forward to my committee next week, is this. I think this is a great idea. Of course, it was my idea. But, you know, we have council staff that travel all around the borough, building inspectors, environmental health officers, and they will go out in their own cars, go and visit a site or a property or a business, and they'll come back in their own vehicle, emitting emissions.
Oh, yes, you mentioned this before. You're going to have a council vehicle, like electric vehicle.
So we want to put systems. There's an emission-free vehicle. It's a pull car scheme, effectively.
Yeah.
Don't go out in your own car. Use that.
Yeah.
Well, there's a cost to that because you've got to hire the vehicle. Yeah, or we'll do it on a contract hire. Yeah, but when you go out and you're doing the fuel, they're quite within their rights as you use your own personal car, claim pencil mile pack. It's about 45p a mile.
Yeah.
So I've done the maths. And at best, it's cost neutral.
Mm.
So what we can do is, you know, if we put a car on a 60,000 mile contract, or in fact two, over 3 years, 120,000 miles that can be driven emission free, and that's leading from the front. And what I want to start doing is other people going, that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the council needs to be doing that. If we're not doing that, then how do we expect other people to do it?
Mm.
That's one of the initiatives on carbon reduction. We've got two tree planting schemes coming forward that we've been talking about internally for months. They're coming to the committee where we're going to start planting out hectares. A massive move. You know, it's been talked about nationally. All sorts of talk around a movement around tree planting schemes. We're going to do that in Brentwood with the land we've got.
Mm.
So there's some good stuff coming forward. In terms of our local development plan, I talked on that in terms of the growth of the town a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
We're going to get that subject to a vote, submitted by the council, approved on the changes that we talked about that we made last time. We'd made changes in Shenfield, Blackmore, Dunton Hills. Let's get that in. We've got to get that with the inspector and move forward with it.
Will they be called, because you know you've got, just very quickly, you used to have Boris Bikes in London. Will they be called Hossack Cars or something? You know, because you've got to
Hossack Horses?
Yeah.
That'd be green, or would it? No, they won't be. I'm not doing
no,
that.
No, you're not going to. Well, I would if I was leader of the council. I'd have something named after me. Now, I just have to say, we did get a little message from Stephen Circuit, who said, keep up all the good work, Chris.
Steve's a good bloke.
There we go.
I wouldn't say if I know him, but I do. But he is a good bloke.
I thought I'd just send a little message. It's nice to get a bit of feedback.
It's nice that he's listening.
Yeah.
Nice to hear from you, Steve.
There we go. Now, next time you come in, we're going to head up to the news now, but next time Chris is in, we're going to have a date set in the diary, and then we're going to try and do a Facebook Live. So if you're out there, you can actually fire off questions to Chris. We might have a couple of points that you want to talk about anyway, but get people more involved so they can do like a live question and answer on air. So hopefully we're going to sort that out in the next.
No, that would be really good. Yeah. I think that would be just a different way of doing it.
Yeah.
I've noticed that community radio station elsewhere was doing that. That's a really blooming good idea. Let's do it. And if we can do that together, then I think that would be wonderful.
Yeah, I like a bit of interaction on the page. But thank you very much to Chris.
Michelle, lovely.
And we'll see you again probably in the next month or two.
Thank you.
Lovely. Thanks very much. I'll be back right after the news.